Yeah.
Thank you, everyone. And so we're going to move into a short meditation and our channel from Kryon. And this really is a moment where you can completely relax and allow your body to let go of any tension that you feel. You may wish to scan your body and feel, are there any places in my body where I'm holding tension? And perhaps a great way to really scan and tune in is to close your eyes and allow your breathing to deepen. And as you quiet your mind, just focus in, feeling your body. Are there any places where you feel tension? And it's okay if you do. Just going to acknowledge, no judgment, just observing. Feel if there's a place where there's tension, and we're just going to send that area waves of love, release, surrender, let go, and relax. And in this posture of relaxing, we're now going to give permission and give allowance to receive benevolent energies. These benevolent energies are going to come to you through the third language of the Kryon channel. So allow yourself to relax and receive not only the beautiful message from Kryon, but the benevolent energies that flow out from the field directly to you.
Greetings, dear ones. I'm Kryon of Magnetic Service. Indeed, these are times where we speak to you personally. Some have felt that channeling is not personal. They felt that these are messages for the planet. The planet, dear one, made up individually of you, and you, and you, and you. And so from my standpoint, and all that I am as a messenger to you, in love with humanity, is person to person. It's how I feel it. It's how the messages are structured. All of these years, you might have heard me say, dear one, or dear ones. Seldom do I address a full group of humanity. These are personal messages. This particular month, I have chosen something, and I told you last week that the theme is the soul. Now, that is a very big theme. I also told you that in 2014, I gave my partner a series of informational attributes about the human soul, 9 of them. It was a program for more than 2 years, given in 5 languages, called the 9 Attributes of the Human Soul, something that may yet be taught again. But this month, I'm going to give you, and told you last week, 4 extraordinary attributes of the soul. Extraordinary. The soul itself is extraordinary, and last week we gave you the immensity of what it might mean actually to have a soul. And this week is the most complex, and we have saved it for members. Because those who would watch this particular show through the intent that you have given to do so, would be considered those who would be wanting to know these things, as opposed to those who would tune in just casually and then be totally confused. This extraordinary attribute of the soul has been channeled many times. We've discussed it many times. And yet, it is still not understood. We've had several labels we have given it to make it easier. And yet, it's still not understood. The reason it is so difficult to understand is because the attribute that I'm about to give you sometimes is disappointing. It's disappointing because you live in a linear world and you want things to be a certain way. And when you learn they are not on the other side of the veil, there is disappointment. When I was a child, I was told all about heaven. I was told that there were streets of gold. I was told that when I got there, that I would have nothing to do all day long but fun things. Perhaps if I was older, I'd be in a rocking chair. And on and on and on. I was given as a child a linear description of something that doesn't exist, but something that is grand on the other side of the veil, an existence with God. True. This is true. And yet it has nothing to do with golden streets or a rocking chair. And when I discovered that, I was disappointed. Aw, I wanted to see the streets of gold. This is what I speak of, because when I tell you this extraordinary attribute of the human soul, you're going to go, say what? Because you're not going to like it. Unless you truly, truly understood the beauty and the majesty and the grandeur of what it is that I'm going to say. We started by describing it in 2014 as soul splitting. And we said that every time you pass over in human form, a piece and part of your soul stays with the loved ones on the planet. Now, this begs in a very important question. You mean to tell me that a piece of my divinity is like torn away and given to somebody else? That is so linear. That's that street of gold. And the answer is no, that is not the way it is. And so we reframed it so you'd be more comfortable, and we then called it soul sharing. You see where this is going. And that was better, because now you have the idea that you're keeping part of it and just sharing it for a while. That isn't so either, but it sounded good. The truth is grander than you think. Your soul, you want to think, is a bubble with you in it. It's a grand bubble that is divine. It's a piece of God. You're eternal. These are all things that we have told you before, and that so many tell you, that your soul is actually a piece of the Creator. This is old energy that tells you otherwise. You are a piece of God. Therefore, when you pass from this place, you're not going to be punished. You're a piece of the Creator. Doesn't punish himself or self. So what I'm going to tell you is this: this soul sharing, this soul splitting, is a beautiful concept because it implies that your soul is more than just you in a bubble skin, that somehow is beyond the veil floating around as you in some kind of a bubble, which is your skin on the other side of the veil. In other words, you're contained. Well, you're not. If you understood multidimensional things, you'd understand there is no containment vessel. There is no bubble. There is no skin. There's nothing that would then outline how big your soul is. It just is. How big is God? You want to outline that? You want to put God in skin? And the answer is no, you cannot. And you cannot do that with your soul either. The star mothers in Lemuria used to give the example of this to the children and say, how big is joy? Draw me a circle. And they couldn't. And they got the impression, understood, there are some things that are so beautiful that they expand and contract on their own, and they don't have skin. They don't have a container. So how does this soul sharing work? I could give you the workings of it and how it works, but that's not as near as important as what you understand the extraordinary factors of it is. You are never, ever alone. You share this grand thing called a soul with so many others, and they share you with them. Now, you might say, well, I'm not understanding. At what point does a sharing happen so that there's more of me with them than with me? And I'll say to you, how linear of you. You know, it's not a vessel that you're pouring things between. Do you have any trouble with the fact that God can be in a million places at the same time? And if you're praying, do you wait in line? Or when you're praying, do you say, well, I feel bad that God is also listening to someone else? And the answer is no. That never occurs to you. I want you to get used to the fact that these attributes that you apply to the creative source, to God, to the spirit, whatever, apply to your soul. You are part of all of that. Therefore, all that is part of your soul. Can you imagine a very, very beautiful scenario where when you pass from this earth, a piece and part of your divinity stays with those around you who love you. Those who love you. I didn't say your parents or your children. I said those who love you. And that is a bit different. And that's for a reason. And that reason and that design and that entire system, if you want to call it, is for benevolence and beauty and kindness. And many know what I'm speaking of. It tempers the grief of a loved one who passes. And if you really are with the program and you understand that, you feel that loved one until it's time for you to pass. And then you pass that on to yours. What a system. But in order for this to work, it's soul sharing. It's like you climb into their soul for a while. And in the process, there is benevolence and beauty and compassion for them and for you. This is what the soul truly is about. It's for sharing. Some will say, I still don't understand. I'll give a linear example because so many want this. If you could put your soul in a bowl and you put water in the bowl and you look at your loved one and they have a bowl and they have water and you decide to scoop some of your water into theirs and some of their water into yours. If you look at your water, do you then try to identify whose is whose or is it simply water? And the answer, it's the water of your soul, and it just happens to contain some of their water. Do you understand? And so it's not about containing or who's got how much of what. That is a linear proposition. Instead, you might say, is how big is joy? How big is love? That soul of yours, right now, as you sit there, with that amazing Akash you have, is filled with loving entities of the past. That's a big one. The people you've loved and lost, the people that they have loved and lost, included you as one of those they lost, all there. And this then drives the Akashic family, some of whom you are with, some of whom you were drawn to on this planet to rekindle the love affair, mother, father, sister, brother, partner. It is a system of grandness that goes beyond anything you ever expected. It is extraordinary. You are magnificent, and your soul echoes all of that. I am crying in love with humanity. And so it is.